finally gave in.
I gave in sooner than Lee did, though.
What was the choice?
Well, just because all my friends are on it, and they all tell me to follow them, so I finally did.
Yeah. Well, Saw has such a passionate following of fans. How are you incorporating social networking in terms of your promotion for the film?
We think it's such an important part, you know, of the process these days. You know, like, marketing has taken such a complete shift thanks to the internet. So I think it's good for the fans as well because they get to connect with you directly. You know, in the old days, if I wanted to, like, write to Spielberg or Sam Raimi or whatever, I would actually have to write a fan mail, and I have no idea where to send it. Nowadays, you can just, like, follow Ashton or, like, friend someone, you know, on Facebook, and you can actually just say, hey, I love...
Yeah, that direct one-to-one contact is pretty good. We want to cultivate the Saw fans that are out there and talk to them and have a conversation with them.
And partly because, you know, we're very appreciative of what they've done for supporting the film and supporting the stuff that Lee and I have done. And the best way to give it back is just, like, talking to them. It's as simple as that. Yeah.
And speaking of coming back to Saw, I mean, this is like it's coming back to your roots with Insidious. The reason why you had two guys in a room is because of budgetary constraints.
Yes.
How do we make $5,000 work?
Right.
So everything kind of flows from there. Here, you make silence work to scare people. You make things that you don't need huge effects through the first half of the film to scare people. And this may sound bizarre, but how freeing are budgetary constraints?
They can be really freeing. I mean...
Well, I mean, okay, firstly, I want to say that Insidious was made for far less money than the first Saw film was. So we didn't actually...
Far less than $700,000?
Saw was shot for $700,000. Then Lionsgate came in and finished it off at about $1 million. It's about the first initial price. That's what Insidious was made for, right? Yeah. So it's actually less than what the final product of Saw was. And so that actually allowed Lee and I a lot of freedom to make the scare works, because if we ran this through the studio system, they would say, well, if you have a ghost or something that appears in the corner, you have to sting it. You have to sting it with a lot musical cue. But then I would fight that and say, no, it's scarier if a character just walks past and we don't acknowledge it. We don't acknowledge it in the filmmaking. We don't have the character acknowledging it by knowing that there's something there. The audience watching it all of a sudden will go, did I just see something? Because you're not sure, right? And I think that is the kind of layered filmmaking in this kind of scary movie that adds to it, and it just builds. And I believe that I would have made a very different film with Insidious if it was channeled through the studio system, and that really did free us up.
In terms of writing, it's definitely is freeing to have some budgetary constraints. It's almost like if I said to you, okay, write me a 5-page story about anything in the world, all of a sudden you're like, what do I write a story about?
Right.
If I tell you, give me a 5-page story about a scuba diver, all of a sudden it frees you up. The constrictions that I've placed on you, that it has to be about a scuba diver, lets you work. And I feel that the budget
gives you direction.
Yeah, knowing how cheap this film was going to be, writing the script, I knew I had to tone everything down, keep the locations low, keep it in two houses.
Yeah, I totally. Write me a scary movie, but we set it only in two houses. And that's the great thing about haunted house movies, is your house is your set for the entire film. And
hopefully, it doesn't really feel like a low-budget film.
Well, that's the thing, right?
No, I'm not saying it as an insulting thing. I mean it as indie films and that creative control. And you've talked enough times about Dead Silence and what the studio process was like. But in this, and knowing you guys a little bit, you're like, all right, we've got this much to do. This is how we can make it work. And you make it work, and it's fun. And you've talked about your influences, Jaws, and how you don't see the shark through the first third half of the film. And also, David Lynch is an influence, and all of his terror, all of his drama, plot twists come out of silence.
They come from the mundane, really. He likes to draw his dread out of something that it could be just a brightly lit shot of a coffee table. Silence, nothing on the soundtrack, yet somehow there's a...
Yeah. Well, I mean, even The Straight Story, that comes entirely out of silence. And it's not a scary film, but it's something where all the drama comes out of silence.
Yeah, and that was one of the things we really wanted to give Insidious. We wanted a lot of the scare sequences to play really silent. But what I like to do with the soundtrack is set you on edge with a really loud, sort of like atonal, scratchy violin score mixing with some really weird piano bangs, and take that away, and all of a sudden you're like, what just happened there? And then you're following a character through a house and it's just dead silent, right? Then when you smash something in there, it really gets you. And one of my favorite sequences in the movie, without giving anything away, is when the alarm in the house goes off. Piercing alarm that goes off, then when he switches it off, it's just dead silent. You know, and I find it is that juxtapositioning between loud and then silent is what sets you on edge. Horror filmmaking doesn't get the kind of recognition I feel like it deserves, because there's a lot of craft involved. And it's not just about someone jumping out with a knife or whatever, and then the music goes all crazy and nuts, right? And your actor screaming away. It's not just about that. I think to create a genuine, creepy, suspenseful movie takes a lot of crafting. That's why I really admire what Alejandro Amenábar did with The Others. Mm-hmm. And I really admire what Shyamalan did with The Sixth Sense. Those are both movies that are very controlled.
That restraint.
That restraint. I find silence in horror film really scary. And the only way to do that is outside of the studio system. You know, you watch like... I don't want to say any particular production company that makes a bunch of horror remakes, and it's just like hardcore, like loud. They shoot their films like they're action films, and I don't think that's how you make scary movies. Scary movies are not like action films. Even the first original,
you're talking about Platinum Dunes,
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I didn't say that. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the first one, had a lot of silence to it.
Platinum Dunes is that company that pumps out all those crappy horror remakes that are just not scary at all and completely shit.
You need to quote that said by Lee Whannell.
I like your little plug for Dead Silence as well. It's available on home video. DVD. Right now.
But I think, yeah, the silence and the right use of the score and sound design is what ultimately make these kind of films work, yeah.
And when you were first plotting out what you were going to do when you were both broke and figuring out what your first film was going to be, you had three different ideas that you were looking at. One, which was Saw. One, which was about astral projection. And one, which was about a guy who scratched up and videotaped himself. Now you have the guys who ended up doing the third of that.
Yeah.
With
Paranormal Activity.
One of the films got made by us. The other film got made by the Paranormal Activity guys. And the third one, we made it when we came together.
We made it when we came together, exactly.
So all three of those ideas ended up paying off. That was a fruitful creative period.
It's pretty incredible how that worked out. Obviously, nothing was planned like that. It's in the cosmos, I guess. Yeah, and we love working with these guys. Jason Blum, great producer, you know, like these guys are such great people to work with. I love
that. Did you talk to them about that and say, like, years ago, we actually plotted out this thing? Did you have that conversation?
It's a lawsuit that's pending.
We can't talk about it right now.
Yeah. That's hysterical. So Barbara Hershey comes off of Black Swan, where she's terrified as a mother. Hasn't she been through enough as a mother? Why are you putting her through this again?
And how much does she went through in The Entity?
She does play that afraid very well. I don't know, it's funny, because at the time we shot this, we hadn't seen Black Swan. She's much more malevolent figure in Black Swan. She's pretty scary. In this film, she's definitely very sympathetic.
She's parental, but she's actually a really cool person. And one of the things why she wanted to do Insidious was she's actually very spiritual, and she actually likes these kind of films. And even though she hasn't done many movies of this ilk since The Entity, she actually really believes in this stuff. We got along really well just talking about stuff that we find scary and spiritual, and basically harkens back to what Insidious is.
Now, your story is well told about how you guys came up and through film school, but the thing that I'm curious about is, you had fellow film students who were really arty and looking down on Harvey. You were talking about the lack of respect. So you go and you end up making one of the most successful horror franchises of all time. You've had more success than you can ever dream of. Have you run into any of those students again?
Not really, because we haven't been back to Melbourne in a while.
See, because Lee doesn't have a Facebook page.
So you
I have.
Have they asked you for work?
I don't want to say.
So that's a yes.
Silence speaks volume, so that's why I wouldn't...
Let's go back to the silence theory. Restraint is key here.
Well,
look, revenge plays a big factor in a lot of your films, and so that is... You know, I guess that is the sweetest revenge.
Revenge, I will say this. One of our film lecturers, one of the guys teaching the course, said to the departing film class, "No one in this room is going to make it as a filmmaker." I have no idea where he said that. I actually went and saw a guy I know graduate from USC Film School, and for their goodbye speech, they had Brian Grazer get up, and he was so encouraging. We had a guy telling us, "No one in this room's going to make it." So I like to think about that every now and again. I like to think that he knows what we're up to.
Yeah, and you can just buy him up like that.
That's your next film.
Exactly.
So I know you're working on a sci-fi film as well.
But the sci-fi film we're working on, it's not so much spiritual as it is, like, technological, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's very much dealing with the love that I have for a particular sci-fi genre, but we're doing it once again through the one we're now sensibility, which is you go in knowing a somewhat familiar plot structure, but then we fuck with it.
Does it deal with outer space then?
Yes,
it's an outer space element, but it's ultimately set in Earth, in a future Earth.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to talk about because I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah, it's hard to talk about it just because we're still at the crafting stage.
So yeah. It may change, but yeah, it's basically set in the future and it's mostly set on Earth.
There's monsters and giant robots.
Yeah, you know, it's got all that good stuff.
Giants and monster robots.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. I can't tell whether you're kidding or not. Well, next you're adapting a graphic novel, right?
Nightfall. That's one of my, you know, I have a few projects brewing away. That's one of them, yes.
Is that going to be before the sci-fi film?
Oh dear Lord, I have no idea at this point. You know,
it's such early days. So
Hollywood is just so strange. Yeah. You know, it's like everyone has like a whole bunch of stuff boiling away, and whichever one happens, first happens. That one was still in the process of, you know, trying to write the script. So it's still very early stages at this point. Yeah.
Now, the first time that I met you guys was the night of your last midnight showing, I think, at Sundance. So what advice would you give yourselves, the 24-year-old versions of yourselves now, as you were starting to go through this entire process?
I would say, don't let other people tell you what you should be doing. Make your own decisions. Don't let other people say to you, oh, now you need to make this kind of film. As if there's the rules.
You mean like for young kids that are just trying to break into the business?
For yourself,
like if you could go back in time and talk
and
to
like
your 24-year-old
like
self.
And have a moment with yourself. Like, what would you say to yourself?
I'll tell myself to put the key right by the door there. So, I guess Lee's kind of right. We went through the whole studio process, and I always believe your instinct is the most correct instinct. I think I agree with Lee.
I think what happened with Dead Silence is that other people told us that we should be doing that. And now that I look back, I realise should is not a word that comes into an art. Mm-hmm. It's whatever you're feeling like doing.
And in wrapping up, you had said a while back that you were going to be moving away from horror, and you did revenge thriller.
Yep.
Yeah. I was just thinking in terms of genres. Are you now moving off to sci-fi? What other kinds of...
It's kind of weird. I kind of try to correct what I said back then. At the end of the day, I guess, it really doesn't matter what genre it is. Put it this way, if I picked up another horror script, but it's fucking brilliant, I would do it. You know what? That's what it comes down to. If I'm inspired as an artist, I wouldn't be a snob and turn it down because I look at it and go, this is great stuff. But I definitely do want to experiment in other genres or make films in other genres because I love, Lee and I, we're not just horror fans, we're film fans. I love action films. I want to do action films. I want to do romantic comedy. I love all this stuff.
Yeah.
So if I find the good material, I'll do it.
Totally. All right. Great to see you guys again.
Cool. Well, great to see you, mate. Great to see you.
Good to see you, man.